you enter a realm of spirit, of sight and sound and mind. Your radio is a cosmic doorway, and your psyche begins to spark when you tune in to Gary and the Sun and Night Dreams After Dark.
Tom Davis here with Metatron Power and Light. We'd like to thank everyone for all the positive emails and responses to our music. Our music can be found on Amazon, Spotify, YouTube, and all digital outlets, and is featured on Night Dreams Talk Radio with Gary Anderson.
Metatron Power and Light is a band that deals with esoteric subjects, the paranormal, and other topics that engage the spirit and mind. Visit MetatronPowerAndLight.com to learn more.
We are facing a time of great change, and the future is unwritten. But when we come together and seek answers, we expand our awareness until we begin to see the unseen. Uncovering secrets allows us to develop the knowledge we will need to shape our future and control our destiny.
You can advertise your business on Night Dreams Talk Radio, and you will be heard worldwide. Why not contact us at nightdreamstalkradio@gmail.com?
From the compound in beautiful Gig Harbor, Washington, Night Dreams Talk Radio presents your host, Gary Anderson.
And that is me. Here it is, Wednesday, February the 24th. Boy, the week is going fast. The month is almost over with. James, how are you doing, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing good. It was a beautiful 55 degrees, and that 5 inches of snow, it melted away, so I got spring fever now.
Oh, yeah. What was your temperature last week?
It was around single digits. It got as low as 2. That's without the wind chill factor, of course.
And people say earth changes aren't going on. Something is going on.
Yeah, it is going on. I'm telling you, it's going on here, that's for sure. It's It's weird. It's it'll be 2 degrees one day and 55 the next.
Just wait till you get up tomorrow or the next day and it's 90 degrees out. Then you have something to worry about.
Yeah, and I hope it's 90 degrees from the weather, not because of that molten magma that's coming from Yellowstone.
Don't worry about that. Do you know, I was reading an article, since I have nothing else to do, since my arm is, well, up in the air right now and I can't lower it. I was reading a big article about Yellowstone. They said, don't worry about it. If it does erupt, it's going to take out actually most of the United States as we know it.
Yeah, it will, and that's there's nothing you can do about it. So you just got to hope for the best, and it's overdue.
Yeah, as Dr. Richard Allen Miller said, even in your state, there's molten lava from Yellowstone. It could be underneath your house. You know that.
I know. Every time I talk to him on the phone, he reminds me of this factor. I swear he does.
Don't worry about it. Well, you know what? Again, they keep coming up with all these different reasons why the dinosaurs disappeared. Now they're talking about as an asteroid again, it took them out. And they found dust in some crater that proves it was an asteroid. I don't know. I hear things. It was global warming. Yeah, it was an asteroid hit. Who knows what it was?
Yeah, I know. You know, also I seen where they said that the magnetic field shift was responsible, was one of the theories why it killed them, too.
That's, of anything, that's what I would be scared about. Because I didn't realize it until I did a lot of reading on it. That, you know, I just thought, you know, if the magnetic made, did a switch, right? Hey, you know, you get in the car and you go ask your car for directions and you end up in Nebraska when you were trying to go to your local store. That's what I thought. And I thought maybe the satellites and all that stuff. No, that's the good part if that happens. It's scary what would happen because we would lose, the whole everything. I mean, you know, the belt around the earth that keeps all this radiation from the sun from frying the earth? We would lose that because it could take months for that to rebuild after it flips.
Yeah, and that's what they say was the reason why that the dinosaurs died off. But not only that, there's so much amazing amount of kinetic energy with all this that it's going to be something way more than just a, you know, north to south, south to north.
Oh, no, but again, what are you going to do? I mean, literally, the sun is going in a weird cycle and it's one and hasn't been recorded ever before. So it is sending out massive solar flares. In fact, we got hit with one yesterday, but it didn't take out satellites. They were worried about it taking out a lot of satellites. In fact, a lot of the companies that, you know, have these satellites up there temporarily shut them down in the safe mode because this flare, it was directly at Earth.
Yeah, there was one last year that took out a few state radio stations, I believe. But, you know, if we get one like they had in the late 1800s, that one there, we will be in trouble.
That's why you need a 1959 Edsel. I keep telling you, you go out and buy yourself an Edsel. You want a car that doesn't have any electronics in it other than a battery.
You might want to get a horse and buggy, too, just saying.
Well, I don't know. But, I mean, all cars now have computer systems in it. They have some type of electronics. And that'll be the first thing it takes out. It's going to take out the everything. How are you going to go down the store and buy your beer if the store is not open? Plus, they're not getting any deliveries because none of the trucks, you know. You know what? The Walking Dead. I watched that the other day. How are they still able, after years and years, siphon gas out of a car and put it into another rig and it runs?
I've thought about that so many times because it doesn't take very long of gas sitting and turns to like a varnish type, and it loses its
octane.
Funk, so to speak.
Yeah, it loses its octane.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, like my motorcycles, I have to either drain the tank, you know, during the wintertime, or I have to put something to stabilize it. Otherwise, when I go to start at spring, it wouldn't start. It wouldn't be enough octane to even kick over the motor. But again, on these shows, you know, that they seem to, hey, they siphon gas out, they siphon diesel, and it works.
I know. I see that all the time. And that one show, they're in the, like, year 7 or 8 or 10 or something. It's crazy.
Now, have you, James, ever thought you were abducted or had any neighbors or friends that were abducted? Not by the guy with the butcher knife down the road. I'm talking by ETs.
No, not me personally. Now, I did know a guy when I lived on the East Coast that he finally came out and admitted that him and his brother both were, especially his brother, more than he was. And it tell you what, every time he talked about it, you could tell he had PTSD. And this was 25 plus years ago when I would talk to him about it.
I don't know. See, that's the thing we get on this show. You get the group of people and say, hey, the ETs are our friends. You know, we had a guest on last week. It was going to say all these horrible things about ETs. And then he didn't do it. You remember that guest?
No. Yes. Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, yeah, because he did it in the preliminaries. But when it got time to pay the piper, he didn't pay off. I don't know.
Maybe he got scared.
It could have been. You know, listen, a lot of strange things going on out there from a lot of strange beings.
Now, do you honestly think we're going to get real disclosure?
No, because there's too many heads that will roll. There's been too many trillions of dollars that have been allocated for certain stuff over the years. And plus, they don't want to lose face. It's not going to happen. Not only that, they're not going to come out with stuff and admit, okay, we have anti-gravity. Well, now there's going to be other countries wanting it, and some of those countries are not very friendly.
Well, do you believe that they've, back-engineered UFOs?
I can believe they tried, but, you know, the scenario we've always talked about, send a DVD player DVR or whatever player or CD player back to the 1860s that tells how to, you know, the thing plays and how it works. Well, how are you going to reverse engineer and do that? It's the same thing. I think it's way too far advanced. I just don't think we can do it.
Well, take your cell phone, for example, and teleport it back to 1957. And
right.
To any of the big organization, government agencies, and say, here, back engineer it. Impossible.
That's true. As a matter of fact, the little board in there that's send that back before we had the little boards, you know, when we had the big tubes, and say, here, back engineer this back to the 1930s. They'd be like, what is this?
You're talking about integrated circuits.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, integrated circuits, you know, back in my electronic days, you know, in the 70s, for example, an IC chip, integrated circuit chip, was huge. And it didn't have many functions. Now they're the size of whatever, and they have massive function capability. It's scary. And that's how far we came. But if you sat there and tried to back engineer one of those devices, like your cell phone, it would never happen. That's the part, I'll be honest with you, with Bob Lazar. I believe some of his story, some of it I really don't. Because I just don't think we had the technology to back engineer these crafts. And another one, to be honest with you, I don't believe Hitler's group had UFOs. And they went to the moon with them and all this stuff. I just don't think they had it. Seriously.
Yeah, I think they were so prideful that I believe that they would have used that to take over the world like they wanted to. Yeah, seriously, why would they just forget that, you know, and then go to the moon? It doesn't make sense.
No, they didn't have the technology to do it. Come on. Let's be honest. But you know what? It's folklore. These stories, you know, become true. You like Admiral Berg, for example, right? Antarctica. I mean, depending on who you talk to, I mean, they come up with a complete, you know, fabrication of the whole thing that is totally believable.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's a couple of them. You better believe it. Stories that really do sound believable.
Well, who is our guest tonight, and what are we going to be talking about? We're not going to be talking about TV repair tonight, are we?
No, that's later in the week. But tonight our guest is Damian Gray, and we're going to be talking about, well, aliens and UFOs and abductions and his abduction event.
Well, why don't we bring him on? Why haven't you done it already, James?
Well, Damian, how are you doing? Tell us about yourself.
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? What got you involved with UFOs and ETs and abductions?
I had an event that I remembered that happened in 1988, but I didn't remember this until 1995. And ever since then, I've been just obsessed with the whole idea of aliens and UFOs. I've always been interested in the paranormal, ghosts and that kind of thing. I've had some ghostly experiences that have happened in my younger years. But that's how I came into the whole UFO community.
Interesting. So what happened to you?
Well, let me preface it. Up until 1995, I believed in extraterrestrial life, but I didn't believe that we were experiencing UFO visitations and certainly not abductions. I believed in extraterrestrial life, but I just thought that they didn't want to have much to do with us. You know, even if they did have the technology to come here, I didn't think that they would bother. And so in 1995, I had a friend of mine who was over at the house, and he was a big believer in the UFO visitations. Excuse me. And so he brought over one of those companion books to that old TV show, The X-Files. And so he's trying to explain to me why they're real, and I'm kind of flipping through the book. And thank God I was sitting down at the time, because I happened to come across a still from the TV series of, I believe it was Fox Mulder, and he's pointing up to the sky at a relatively large black triangle. And when I say relatively large, I assume it was probably about the size of a bus. And it had three lights under it at each point. And immediately I blacked out. And during a course of about 5 minutes, my girlfriend and my friend couldn't rouse me. And in that course of 5 minutes, I remembered almost everything about the abduction that had happened years earlier. So when I came to finally, you know, they were obviously concerned. And the first thing I said to them was, "That's it, but it's not it. It's much bigger than that." Because what I saw was about the size of a football field and about two stories high. So this is what happened. In 1988, I was homeless in Southern California and in the kind of the Ontario San Bernardino area. And luckily I had a roof over my head because I still had a car. I would commonly go to rest stops off the freeway to get sleep at night, because generally speaking, I wouldn't get harassed at these places, you know, by cops and that kind of thing. And so that's what I would do. And one evening in May of 1988, I was driving, what would it be, eastbound on the I-10 freeway. And it was pretty common back then for them to close down the freeway to do construction work. And anyway, that's what happened at that point. So I had to get off on Haven Avenue in Ontario. And I knew that I could still get to that rest stop, but I would have to swing up Haven Avenue and across a road and go back down another road and finally get there, a great big loop that would take me probably, I don't know, 5-6 miles out of my way. So that's what I did, and I went up Haven Avenue, and Haven Avenue, for those of you who may not know, ends at the foot of a range of mountains there in El Salado. And so anyway, so I'm going up Haven Avenue and I turn on what I think was a Highland Boulevard. I don't even think the Highland Boulevard even exists anymore because, I mean, back then it was pretty much all grape fields. And now it's very built up there. You know, I mean, there's a lot of housing community there. But anyway, so I turned on Highland Boulevard and it's very dark out. There are no street lights because, like I said, it's all was all farming vineyards. And I'm just going along and I'm listening to music and I had my sunroof open. I had a Hyundai GLS and I had my sunroof open. It was a nice night. And about 2 minutes into my travel along this road, I happened to see a light in the distance that looked about the size you would see as a plane, you know, but it wasn't blinking. It was just one solid light. So I'm concentrating on this thing and it's getting bigger and bigger as I go along. And I'm trying to figure out what the hell it is. Suddenly, another light about the size of maybe a basketball came up next to my driver's side window and it was pacing me and it was pulsing. Almost from an inner glow. And so I'm trying to watch this and I'm trying to watch the road and I'm trying to watch that other light. And I'm really surprised I wasn't in an accident, but suddenly the light, the orb that was next to my window shot off at almost light speed and joined with that other light in the distance. So I'm just completely baffled at this point. And as I'm getting closer, like I say, the light is getting bigger and bigger. And then it's starting to develop some structure to it. I still can't make out what it is. But I had been on that road before. And I wondered if they had built a new structure there, a new building. But then as I went up, I saw that it was all black save for the lights on the bottom of it. Now, about a quarter mile away from the thing, my car stalled out. And I was so concentrated on this thing that I didn't even realize that the car had stalled out. By the time my car came to a stop, I was about midway under the craft. The craft was over a grape field. And it was just hovering there. And I was completely baffled as to how a structure this size could be just hovering silently and, you know, without any pillars or anything to hold it up.
Now, I got to ask you a question, Damien. Did it make any noise you could hear? And also, did you lose all your power inside the vehicle?
No, it didn't make a sound. I mean, it was just there, you know. As far as my power in my car, it was completely gone. You know, my radio was off, the electricity, the electronics were off, and the engine had just totally stalled. But so when I say the thing was large, like I said, it was about the size of a football field and about two stories high. And it was matte black. And just like in that picture that I saw with Fox Mulder, it had these bright lights on at the tip of each one of the points of the triangle. Beyond that, there were multiple colored lights on the underside of it that would squiggle and snake and then disappear and snake and disappear. And when I say multiple color lights, I mean the spectrum, you know, green, blue, red, you know. And so I shimmied up through my sunroof to get a better look at this thing and the immensity of it. And I was just mesmerized by the sheer size of it. Now, as I said, I was shimmied up through my sunroof and I felt a hand touch my shoulder and somebody behind me said, "Sir, I'm going to need you to sit down." And I jumped because, you know, I didn't know anyone was there. And I turned around and there is a guy there who looked like the typical Men in Black kind of thing. He had a dark suit on, you know, white shirt, dark tie. No sunglasses, no flashy thing or anything like that. But I remember he did have a patch on his right arm, and it was it's hard to describe what it was. It almost looked like a nuclear symbol, like a nuclear warning symbol, but it was a little different from that. So anyway, I said, yes, sir. And because I didn't know who this guy is, but he obviously commanded some authority over me. And so when I sat down, he motioned for me to roll down my window. So I did. And he says, you know, he asked, what are you doing here? So I was trying to explain to him what I was doing, that I was just trying to go to a rest stop to get some sleep, and the freeway was shut down and blah, 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 blah. And I told him, I said, look, I don't know what's going on here, but I don't really want to know. And if you just let me go, I'm not going to say a word about that. And he kind of shook his head and he says, nah, it's too late for that. And I went, oh, man, you know. And so I looked out the front of my window, and across the road, there were three black Jeeps, like military Jeeps, that were parked just across the road, almost like a roadblock. And I'm glad my car had stalled out, because I would have run right into them, because I was so concentrated on the craft. So then the guy says to me, he says, I'm going to need you to step out of the car. And I'm thinking, man, I just don't need this. I really don't. Not tonight. You know, I mean, like I said, I was homeless and, you know, I was just wasn't in the mood for any of this stuff, you know, I mean. And so anyway, I step out of the car. And when I do, I notice that from behind the guy was an alien creature being. And he stepped out from behind him. And at this point, all my preconceived notions about aliens and UFO visitations went right out the door. I mean, I thought it's real. It's real. It's standing here staring at me.
Well, Damien, how freaking out were you at that point?
You know, I wasn't freaked out so much as I was just, like I said, I was mesmerized by the ship and this creature that came out. I wouldn't say I was freaked out, but I was just amazed more than anything else, I think. And I remember looking into the creature's eyes. And by the way, this creature was, you know, what we commonly consider a gray, you know, about 3.5 feet tall, large bulbous head, you know, large eyes. By the way, the eyes don't look like they're normally depicted. They don't have points at both ends. They are slanted, but they look more almond shaped. So they came to a point toward the nose, which was very little nose there at all. It was just pretty much two nasal cavities. But then toward the back, toward the temples, it was more rounded. But anyway, so the guy turns and looks at the being, and the being turns and looks at him, and I had a feeling they were communicating telepathically. And so the guy turns back to me and he says, they want to take you aboard. And I'm like, aboard that?
Okay, no. Damien?
No.
We need to go on break. And then,
sure.
And then, we, you know, hopefully you don't scare me. Because I tell you what, I wouldn't want to go on board of anything that leaves the ground. Mm. Anyway, we'll be back with Damien Gray right after this. You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio. By the way, check out our website at www.nightdreamstalkradio.com. You'll see at the bottom of the page a little circle with an envelope. If you want to become a night dreamer, just click on it. Give us your name, the country you're from, your city, and we'll do the rest. And the advantage of being a night dreamer is you're going to be able to not use chat here very shortly. You'll be able to get a hold of us in a much better way. Plus, you're going to get content, bonus content, that the listeners on the radio stations and on the internet don't get. All you have to do is subscribe It doesn't cost you anything. We'll be right back. You're listening to me, Gary, on Night Dreams Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Tom Davis with Metatron Power and Light. Our songs are inspired by our own experiences and the stories of people we've met. We know what we've seen, and we know the truth. We are not alone. She asked me for a dance.
What's unusual about Metatron Power and Light as a band is we share the same beliefs. We've all had similar experiences, and together through music, we can explore the kinds of subjects that haven't been presented in exactly this way before.
We want everyone to know that what you're going through, we're going through. When you're being told one thing and seeing another, we're here with you. Music brings people together, and together, we're strong.
Want to answer that, don't you? I bet it's just killing you, seeing the soft glow just inches away. Someone wants to tell you something or ask you something. Oh, come on, answer it already! Just so we're clear, that wasn't my fault. Next time, ignore your inner voice. Don't text and drive. A message from Florida's Trusted Choice Independent Insurance Agents.
You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio After Dark with our host, Gary Anderson.
And that is me. Our guest tonight is Damian Gray. And hey, when you were offered to go on this craft, what were you feeling inside?
Well, you had mentioned, you know, whether or not I was panicking or anything like that. I think that is when I really started to kind of freak out a little bit, because when I said I don't want to go on the craft, the creature came toward me, and I kind of jumped back, but then it walked up to me and touched my hand and held my hand, and it was a very strange sensation. The skin. If it was skin at all, I'm still not even sure if it was skin. I want to say it was some sort of bodysuit. But it touched my hand, and it felt very plasticine. But immediately, I was compliant, and I was willing to do whatever they needed me to do. So then we walked out toward the grape field, and I remember stepping over the grapevines that were there, and... But it didn't seem to have an issue going through the grapevines, weirdly enough. But, you know, but here I was tripping over everything. We walked out toward the center of the craft. And at that point, I don't remember how we got on the craft. And I don't remember being disrobed. But the next thing I know, I'm lying naked on a slab, a metal slab. But the slab was such that it conformed to my body. I wasn't strapped down, but I couldn't move. The only thing, I couldn't even move my head. The only thing I could move were my eyes. And I remember trying to get a bearing of where I was. And so I'm using my peripheral vision as much as possible. And to my right was another guy, and I want to say he was older than me. He kind of looked like he was in his 40s. And then to my right was a young girl, and she was like maybe, I don't know, preteen, 10 years old maybe. And then toward my feet, like I said, this was a large structure. It was probably two stories high. There was a catwalk across, and there was a what I now know to be a large white, and it seemed to be in control of everything that was going on. Now, there were a lot of these gray aliens there, and they were surrounding the different tables there. And I can't be certain, because I only know for a fact that there was the guy and the girl next to me. But you know, these slabs were spaced a good 10 feet apart. So I don't know if there were other ones there on with us there, but the beings were surrounding the guy that was next to me, and he was screaming. And then they finally came over to me.
Okay, I want to backtrack here.
Sure.
Damien, was he screaming of being scared or screaming in pain type of scream?
Yeah, pain. So, yeah. And so anyway, they finally came over to my slab, and you know, I was feeling some trepidation because I thought, whatever they're doing to that guy, I don't want them doing it to me. And so they surrounded the slab that I was on, and one of them was up near my head. And I, for some reason, I get the feeling that she was female, and I don't know why, because they all looked alike. They varied in sizes a little bit, but that aside from that, I mean, they all looked alike. And she put her hand on my forehead, and evidently I blacked out. And from that point on, I don't remember anything that had happened on that slab until that alien and I were up walking around on the ship, and she was showing me certain things. I didn't remember what had happened on the ship or on the slab until about a year ago. I was watching a movie called The Fourth Kind, and it's about these abductions that took place in Alaska. And one of the stars of the movie was recounting in her hypnosis about what had happened to her when she had been abducted. And in the scene, she's the same scenario. She's on a slab, and they put this almost like a crane thing down over her, and there was a drill there, and it was moving toward her eye. Well, my friend Ralph and my wife and I were all sitting here watching this, and suddenly I flipped out. I mean, and I couldn't watch the rest of the movie because it was another triggered memory of what had happened, and it was absolutely awful. Just to give you kind of an overview of what had happened, they had done that. They had put but it was more like a needle into my tear duct. They had put another needle into my penis and forced an ejaculation, which hurt like hell. They put another device down my throat, almost like an incubator. And then they put air down that, and so it extended my stomach. And when they did that, they put a needle into my navel. it was absolutely awful. And I remember trying to scream and telling him, asking him, no, why are you doing this? But I couldn't really speak all that well because of that incubator. Yeah, it was absolutely horrible. You know, a lot of people talk about being taken, and that, you know, the beings are spreading love and light and all this stuff. Yeah. And I have a podcast where I talk to people who have experienced that kind of thing, and they're usually repeated abductees. And you know, they have a great relationship with the aliens, and you know.
Well, I want to jump in here. You know, I've been doing this for 45 years. I've interviewed so many people in those 45 years. And, you know, here's what I think happens, too. A lot of these people go and tell their story to somebody who goes, hey, I know somebody can regress you. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, unless you got, like I say all the time on the show, unless you have somebody as board certified, it has had massive experience in this subject, you're opening yourself up to a can of worms. Like you mentioned, you watched this movie. Well, we all have watched movies, you know, since the 50s, right? Of, you know, UFOs and aliens destroying the earth and abducting people. And that's in people's minds. So If you get somebody who regresses you, how do you know you're actually Well, not living in when you're hypnotized. Well, maybe from one of those TV shows or movies, and it's confusing you. So you come up with this scenario. Oh, they're here to help mankind. They're, you know, blah blah blah. This, I mean, I really think about it. It's scary.
Yeah, it really is. You know, I mean, and I know a few of these hypnotherapists that specialize in regression, and one of them is very reputable, and I'm totally on board with her. But I do know that there are a lot of people out there who are just trying to make money, you know, and they're trying to make money off of, you know, your emotions. And so they're trying to tell you that they're implanting memories, let me put it that way.
Yeah,
you
know? That's dangerous too.
And it is dangerous. And it's what happened to me was extremely terrifying. And as a result of that memory that I had triggered, I now have PTSD, and almost nightly I wake up screaming, "No, no, no. Why? And I'm in a cold sweat. And God bless my wife that she tolerates this. She totally understands. But yeah, it's really affected me. And, you know, prior to that memory, I had always thought these beings were fairly benevolent, you know, and but turns out that that's not the case. And I don't have bad feelings toward the aliens about this. I don't think they're evil. I don't think that they're out to invade us. You know, maybe part of their alien agenda with the hybrids. I think that that's entirely possible. But I look at them more as they're no more evil than a scientist that would be studying an animal. You know, I mean,
that's
it's no
evil.
Less terrifying for the animal, but, you know, I mean, they're not doing it to be evil.
Yeah, but look at this. This is where I get confused. You know, I've interviewed so many people, and, you know, we get the, oh, they're here to save mankind. Oh, they give me these orbs, you know, and they want me to spread love and how to save the world. But meanwhile, everything you went through, they probably went through. If they're sitting there trying, the whole point is, how many times, like I always say, how many times do they have to keep abducting people, taking their DNA, doing what they did to you, to other people, over and over and over again? There's got to be some motive behind this.
Right. This is something I've questioned a lot. You know, why does it continue to happen? I mean, we've had so many reports of abductions throughout history. This is not a new thing. You know, this goes way back. It's just become more prevalent because of the news media in, well, not recent years, but, you know. But the only conclusion I've come to about that is that it works. They're working with the hybrid program. And so they're splicing their DNA with ours to create these hybrids. And so I think that that's what it is. I think it all comes down to that. Now, why they're doing this, I haven't the slightest clue. I mean, some people say that, you know, it's because it's their way of invading Earth, and that they will eventually become our masters and that kind of thing. Well, I don't know if I buy that or not, but I do have a feeling that it has something to do with our DNA and with being able to produce more hybrid life forms. Speaking of that, so my next memory after all these medical procedures happen, I was up walking around with, and she showed me where there were a bunch of like tall cylinders, and inside these cylinders was kind of a green liquid, and each one of them was supporting what looked like a cross between a human and an alien at different stages. So some of them were embryos, some of them were the size of toddlers. Some of them were the size of even teenagers. And she brought from the side one of these hybrid aliens to me and asked that, and I realized immediately that it was dead. And asked her, "What do you want me to do with this?" And there was no answer. So we went into another room, and she was trying to show me where they were from. I didn't really understand what it was, but it was one of those, I can't remember what they're called. They're plexiglass, a chalkboard kind of things. You can see through them. But on it, it had lights, and they were supposed to represent stars and planets and that kind of thing. But I didn't really understand what she was trying to convey to me. But then the scene transformed on that board, and it showed almost what looked like a family. And on it, it had the grandfather, it had the name of my mother and my uncle, and then me underneath that. And then there were two other names below it that at the time I didn't recognize, but they were of my son and daughter. And yeah, I didn't really understand, but I got the feeling that I wasn't the first in my family to be abducted. But the other two names at the bottom below me, I didn't understand that at all. And until 1995, when I had already had my son and daughter and had the initial memory, and their names ended up being the names that were on that board.
Interesting.
So I've always thought that was odd. And I've never really asked them about it, you know, whether or not they've been taken or whatever. But so kind of to wrap up the story, I remember walking with her to the side of the ship where there was a large window, and I saw my car on the road below. And that's the last thing I remember before I woke up what I presume was the next morning at the top of Haven Avenue where I started out. And I didn't realize why I was there. I didn't remember anything that had happened. And I remember looking out toward my passenger's side door, and there was a deer, a doe, that was staring in at me. And as soon as I saw it and I moved, it took off running. And so I remember I had to urinate badly. And so I went back down Haven to where the I-10 freeway, where I initially started, and there was a Denny's there. And so I went in to use a bathroom, and my urine was blood red. And I thought at the time, well, it's not that, whatever. Like I said, I was homeless. I was pretty much subsisting off of Vienna sausages. And so I thought maybe it has to do with...
But red urine? Did it burn or anything while you were emptying your bladder or anything?
No, it didn't burn at all. It was just blood red, you know. And, like I said, I thought it had something to do with perhaps malnutrition, you know. But as I said, I didn't remember anything that had transpired the night before. The only thing I did remember was getting off on Haven Avenue because there was going to be road construction on the freeway. So, but yeah, I didn't remember any of this until 1995.
You know what I think they do is they put screen memories into you and to block it.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure, because you mentioned you do a podcast and you've interviewed all these other people that were abducted. I mean, here's the part it gets me concerned. I don't think they're here for mankind. I don't think they care really about us. They don't show any compassion, do they? Did they show any compassion to you and that guy that was screaming in pain?
No, absolutely not. They were stone cold, emotionless. I have a feeling that the Greys that we know and love are not typical biological beings. I think that they are robots. You know, I mean, and like I said, that tall white seemed to be in control of everything, even their movements. And so I have a feeling that they are bioengineered.
They could be. That's the whole thing. You remember the movie? It was done in, I think, the early 60s. The Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I kind of always, you know, when I hear a lot of abduction stories, it kind of reminds me of that. Because, you know, you got the cattle mutilation, right? You got human mutilations. And all these people coming forward. Now, again, because it goes in cycles, you know, for years it will be ghost hunting. And then it goes into Mothman or some cryptic creature, Bigfoot, you know. And then it goes back into UFOs. And ufology is really taking hold in the last couple of years.
Oh, sure. Yeah. The mainstream media, it's become huge in mainstream media.
Yeah, where it faded out for quite a few years. But the stories I hear, like what you said, or Calvin Parker, or Terry Lovelace, or Timothy Collin, who had an implant removed by the late Dr. Roger Lear, it's scary. And then I hear these other ones where they've been on board craft and they see human bodies and body parts.
Yeah. I didn't witness anything like that, thankfully. But, Terry Lovelace is actually going to be on our podcast next month, and I'm very excited to talk to him because he's got an incredible story.
Oh, he does. He's been on my show like 5 or 6 times, and it took that before he started opening up. And, you know, the poor guy sleeps with a loaded gun and a high-powered flashlight. You know, can you imagine his wife? You know, I would be scared if my wife all of a sudden started putting a gun up, you know, next to the bed. Yeah. I mean, he's scared about being abducted again. He says they're evil. I mean, I don't know. All I know is if I took you, right, and experimented with you, I'm going to go to prison.
You're right.
So, I mean, whatever these things are doing, I don't know. Again, if they're cloning, look how far we've gotten with DNA. I mean, we're in the process right now of going to bring back to life a creature that hasn't lived since the dinosaur age. Mm-hmm. And by our engineering of DNA. I mean, how many times they have to abduct people to keep collecting their DNA? And from what I hear, there's literally thousands of people are claiming that they were abducted.
Mm-hmm.
Tens of thousands.
Yeah. You know, as for why they're continuing to abduct or why they abducted at all, personally, I think that there's some credence to the story about Eisenhower making a deal with them after the crash of Roswell. I think there's a little bit of credence to that. And you know, you look at our technology today, and I don't mean just like cell phones. They're miraculous, really. But I'm even talking about, you know, our vehicles and our planes and our military vehicles, whether they're military jets or whatever they are. I mean, I don't think that in the time span between the Eisenhower administration and now, we would have been this advanced. And I think what happened was this deal that was struck by Eisenhower and the aliens was that the aliens came to retrieve the bodies of the UFO crash in Roswell, and a deal was struck. Look, you teach us what you know about technology, and in turn, we will allow you to abduct a certain amount of people every year.
And that's the scary part.
It is. It's very scary, actually.
But you nailed this, okay? As you said, technology. Now, my dad, you know, worked at Boeing Aircraft. He was an electronic engineer. He developed, you know, the electronics when they were going to build the SSD aircraft back in the, 70s or late 60s. And my dad always would sit there and we would have, you know, because I've been in electronics since I was a kid. I mean, you know, I've held a first-class license from the FCC for years. I mean, I've been in broadcasting virtually all my life, one way or the other. Here's what I found. If you look at the 20s, the 30s, 40s, 50s, everything was tube. Your radios, your transmitters.
Right.
First computers were tube. And then, all of a sudden, we invent the transistor, which I do believe came naturally. But the integrated circuit is where I start losing it in my mind. My father constantly said, you know, it's kind of weird how we took the jump from tubes to transistors instantly into integrated circuits, which did multiple things in these circuits. Then we came out with fiber optics, and now even the Navy is putting on some of their destroyers lasers, capable of shooting down rockets, shooting down aircraft. That's how, or taking out another ship. I mean, just think about that. Laser. How are we advancing this fast? I mean, we went from the Wright brothers, basically, to what we have right now. It's scary.
And it's in a relatively short amount of time. Yeah.
And from the 50s to now, we have jumped so fast, it's scary. And I don't think technology normally jumps that fast. If you go back to the medieval times, all the way up, I mean, if you think about it, nowhere in man's history have we been advancing as fast as we are now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got help.
Yeah, you know, yeah, oh yeah, I really do. I mean, and, you know, people say that been backward engineering UFOs at various installations throughout the world, really. And I don't think that we've been backward engineering. I think we've been told how to do this. And I think that that has resulted in things like the TR-3B, which is that smaller black triangle. And I think that they are developing this for war purposes. But then I also hear that they're using it only for surveillance. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, pardon my tinfoil hat, but I think if it's surveillance, they're surveying us, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you know what, Damien, one thing I said at the beginning of the show with James, we're talking. If I went back in time to 1957 or 58 or 1960 and handed the top scientists of the world your cell phone, you think they can back engineer it?
No, of course not.
Well, then that's the same thing. That's what, like, with Bob Lazar. I mean, I do believe, because I've seen proof he did work where he said he worked at, but I don't think we had the capability to back engineer any of these craft. Yeah. I think we've had help.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, yeah, we've had help. You know, I mean, we certainly didn't do this on our own. There's no way we could have done this. Well, maybe there's a way, but I don't think so.
I don't. Now, we need to take a break. This is about 4.5 minutes long. And when we come back, I want to ask you some of the questions that you have asked of your guest on your show. I'm kind of curious what you're hearing from people who claim they've been abducted.
Sure.
Okay, we'll be back with Damien Gray right after this. You're listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio. Go get yourself a nice, easy chair, a cup of Java, cup of tea, or a martini, and relax, and we'll be right back.
Remind the frozen not to speak. It's not my time. Just because the leaves are dry, just because the leaves are dry, and because you know that I.
Story you want to share on Night Dreams Talk Radio? You could be a guest. Email us at nightdreamstalkradio@gmail.com.
Across the world, this is probably the best radio station in the world.
coming to you from some far point station, like a cosmic tumbleweed, both north and south of the Pleiades. Here's your host, Gary Anderson.
And that is me. Well, we're talking about UFOs, ETs, abductions with Diamond Gray. Well, again, I mean, I'm sure you've had a lot of people tell you horror stories about their abductions, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. By the way, my name is Damien.
Damien, I'm sorry. Yeah, I apologize. That's all
right. People always screw it up. I co-host a YouTube channel I also co-host a podcast, and both of which deal with everything under the paranormal umbrella, everything from ghosts to UFOs, aliens, and cryptids and that kind of thing. And so we have a lot of people on talking about their abductions, and I can give you a couple of examples how diverse the UFO community is. We had one gentleman on who had just, he was one of those guys that had a very pleasant experience, and he's been repeatedly taken, and he's been taken by apparently an alien who is thousands of years old, and he's one of those ones who believes that these aliens in particular are trying to help mankind. That's not to say they're all doing this, you know, and that all the races that are visiting here are doing that kind of thing. But he truly believes that, you know, it's benevolent to mankind to have these aliens here. On the other hand, we talked to one woman who turned into being a good friend of mine, and she told me that she was abducted when she was a child. And then the abductions happened throughout her life. And after one abduction, she discovered that she was pregnant. She didn't go full term because at 7 months in the pregnancy, she was abducted again. And suddenly she's not pregnant anymore. So in other words, she claims that they had taken the fetus. And she's one of these people like me who believes that, you know, they're working on an alien hybrid program. And so she told me that she got to meet her daughter in a future abduction. And she said she looked very human, but she had very alien-like eyes. And but she didn't have any trepidations toward them at all, really. But because she had been experiencing this, you know, throughout her childhood. So she wasn't terrified by the situation, and she certainly doesn't suffer from PTSD like I do. But I mean, so there's two good examples of how, you know, the UFO community is kind of split a little bit.
Well, it is. I mean, I've had people on it claim they're almost abducted every night of their life. I don't buy it. I just don't. But again, I mean, they're not showing any remorse, any compassion to keep abducting people. Could you imagine you're pregnant for 7 months and then all of a sudden you're not pregnant? What that does to you emotionally, let alone, let's look at it realistically. People are going to know that you were pregnant for 7 months.
Right, doctors and such.
Yeah, and now you're not pregnant. And I would think even the authorities would be very interested, because there is people out there, you know, will do a late, you know, I'm talking about abortion, or they'll get rid of their child, which is actually at a certain age is now not classified abortion anymore. It's murder.
Murder.
And I would think somebody would be looking at, like, what happened to your child? Did you have a miscarriage? Did you get rid of the body? What did you do with it? That's what would go in my mind.
Yeah. Because apparently she was going through the whole stages of the pregnancy. She had had anyway, but when she turned up not pregnant, the doctors were just apparently very mystified. She never mentioned whether or not the authorities were involved, though, so I don't know anything about that.
That would be scary, just even to carry it. because, you know, women get attached to their babies, and then all of a sudden you don't have it anymore. I mean, I would feel so violated. At least I would, if that happened to me, if I was a woman. I would feel violated as somebody even as a man, you know? I mean, what goes on? I mean, it's scary. And then you got people out there, seriously, like Mary Joyce. She runs a reporting center about UFOs and cryptids. It's called skyshipsovercashiers.com. And she's been on our show quite a few times. And she had a connection with somebody high up in the government that claims, you know, when you talk about Eisenhower and all this stuff, that they did make an agreement to allow a certain amount of people to be abducted. Now, she claims, but this ex-CIA person told her, is that some of the people were abducted not by the Greys, but by the other type that, like humans, they love humans. By the way, James, you have the A-150 or 51 sauce there?
Yeah, I sure do, buddy. You better believe it.
Yeah, if you ever get invited by an alien for a barbecue, don't go.
Okay.
Because that's what he claimed, that they for a certain amount of military supplying our military with, you know, equipment, devices, you know, moving them up in technology, in exchange, they could abduct some people and, you know, have a little feast now and then.
I've heard that. I've heard that some aliens are eat people. I don't know if I buy it or not. I don't know enough about the subject to really comment on it. Other than I find it a little hard to believe.
I don't.
You know, why?
I don't.
Why would they come all this way just to eat humans?
Well, maybe because they don't value humans like we do, because we're humans. But look at, we eat everything on this planet. Even the stuff that would turn your stomach, people manage to eat. We even eat, still in this world, humans. I mean, mm-hmm. There's still little pockets of places on this earth yet that humans are a delicacy with other humans. So if they are so far advanced, I'm just thinking, if they are so far advanced than us, they might not look at us anything more than that lab experiment. Or as we're the farm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say this. There are a lot of people that go missing every day, and they never turn up. And I'm not talking about just kids that are being absconded by perverts and that kind of thing. You know, I mean, we're also talking about full-grown adults, and they're just never found again. And so I find that kind of interesting. You know, I mean, where did they go? Why is there no trace of them left on the earth? You know, so, I mean, so that could be the reason for that, you know. And again, I don't think that all species are doing this, but I believe that there's probably one species in particular that's doing it. And I want to say it's probably the reptilians.
That's what I think. But you know what? I guess you need to write this name down. Christopher George.
Okay.
Okay, now he was a park ranger for 35 years. Now, he's not the guy who takes your money when you go camping. He's one of the law enforcement rangers. And that he's been on our show numerous times, and he talks about the missing, too. Go missing in the forest, and he's one of them that would know, because he's the one that did a lot of investigations. In fact, he was called all over the country when people go missing to investigate. And the things that, James, you can jump in here anytime you want. Things that he said, he'd be out in the middle where people don't even go out in the forest. And they would be investigating a UFO landing site. Highly radioactive. Definitely showing that something landed and took off. He saw a couple of those, which was rather interesting. A couple of times, or at least one time he was out there. With another ranger, and the military all of a sudden came out of the bushes. Again, this was a landing site, supposedly of where a UFO was, highly radioactive. They were told to leave. And he argued with him, wait a minute, I have jurisdiction here. No, you don't. We have jurisdiction. If you don't leave, you're going to be leaving in the, basically in a body bag. Now, James, jump in here.
Well, also, they found that guy that was cut in half sitting on a stump with perfectly cut, like precision, and the upper half is totally gone. And there was no predators or anything that would that touched it or got around it, no tracks around it. It was mystifying what happened there. And then the sighting of these predator-type things also.
Well, let's backtrack, though, James. The guy they found was a young guy who was going out and trying to get pictures of Bigfoot. And he was noted because he would, you know, check in with all the different rangers. He wasn't just going to one forest. He was going to different areas of the forest system and going out with his camera and taking pictures. He was known. And he went missing. And, you know, a few months went by. They found his lower torso sitting on a stump.
That's crazy.
He had his shoes on. He had his backpack with food in it. Okay? He had his camera still on the ground. No predator. Like he, Christopher said, any predator would have grabbed that backpack because it had food in it and drug it away. They would have ate his remains. But his body was looked like a laser cut it in half. The upper half of his body was gone. There was no signs of any of the organs, blood, flies, larva, any of this stuff around the body. That was one. It's really interesting. Another one where they found a person, I think it was a ranger. They found his body. Okay, he was no blood on his clothes. His organs and stuff were like missing. And his bones were like flattened to almost nothing. Am I right on that one, James?
Yes, absolutely. They couldn't figure out how almost every bone in his body was flattened and crushed. I mean, it was very mystifying. And it wasn't like there was a bunch of physical trace evidence around it. It was like, how did it happen?
Yeah, no blood. If you squish somebody's body, right, you're going to put out all kinds of body fluids.
Well, I was going to ask you about that Bigfoot investigator who was essentially cut in half. Did he report that it was cauterized at all?
That's what he said it was. And again, what happens with the forest system is he would make his report. It'd go up the chain of command, and guess what? It doesn't go any farther.
Yeah, of course not.
Nope.
And not just it. Again, the Predator. Remember the Predator movie with Arnold?
Right.
Okay. Him. Other park rangers, I'm talking deep in the forest where humans don't venture normally, they would report seeing these creatures staring from them out on trees or in the bushes, kind of cloaking in and out. So it's scary when you think about this and all the people that go missing. But then it goes even farther. In one case, there was a horrible accident. Him and his partner, you know, pull off the road. They were going to put their flares out. They were figuring out how they were going to, you know, how they were going to control the traffic in the area. They get out and they're on the side, passenger side of the truck. And they see a creature, a horrible looking creature looking at them from the you know, driver's or passenger window reflection. They grabbed their guns. They turned around and guess what? It was nothing there.
Yeah, it was a scary one.
So something is going on.
Big time.
Yeah. You often hear about like cattle mutilations and how predators won't go near the bodies of the cattle. And even so far as that, you know, flies won't and maggots won't infest the bodies. And I wonder if that has something to do with it. I wonder if what they're doing to these bodies, whether it's through cauterization or whatever, if that has something to do with this.
I don't know what it is, but it is scary. Again, you know, like I said, there's reports of UFOs landing deep in the woods. military out there, bodies, you know, found really strangely in situations which, like he said, there's no bear could do it. No mountain lion or cougar can do it. And what they have found through the years, it's scary. And again, what he said, if you at your age go missing, they'll look for you for a couple of days and it's over with. They'll write the report, goes up the chain of command, boom. If it's a child, they'll spend maybe a week or so looking. But then that's it. But then he talks about strange things where they found bodies of kids miles and miles away from where they disappeared. No way a 4-year-old or 3-year-old or 5-year-old or a 10-year-old could walk in those situations.
Right. And, you know, I live in Las Vegas, and we have something here in Nevada called the Nevada Triangle, and it goes from Las Vegas to Reno to out to Fresno, California. And in that area, people go missing all the time. And then there's been some reports where kids that go missing, you know, they search for them, and they can't find them. And then suddenly they pop up miles and miles and miles away from where they were, and they can't remember anything that happened.
That's strange. Well, James, how about that young kid that claimed that a bear took care of it that you talked
about?
Yeah,
that was about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and that was in the Carolinas. The kid went missing for 3 days, and they searched everywhere for this kid. I mean, a lot of people, because he was only like 3 years old. And they found him 3 days later. And when they found him, he wasn't dehydrated. He didn't have any hyperthermia or anything. And they asked the kid, you know, what happened? He said a bear took care of him for 3 days. Well, here's the thing. It was in the wintertime, and bears going into hibernation will eat every and anything they can get their hands on. And when they come out of hibernation, they eat everything and anything, get their hands on, because they're hungry. So the odds of it being a bear that took care of it and fed it and watered it and kept the boy warm, or was it a Bigfoot?
Was it a boy, or was it a girl?
I think it was a boy, but I think it was a little boy, but it could have been a little girl.
Yeah, it's strange things going on. And I really think they're tied to UFOs and ETs. I mean, it seems...
Well, right. And I was about to say, you know, maybe that is just a screened memory that the aliens implanted in the kid. Rather than, you know, that it's an alien, that they screen the memory and suddenly it's a bear.
Oh, yeah. You know, back, there was a guy on my show about a year and a half ago. He wrote a book about owls. He was a game warden. And what he claimed on the show is that one day he came home from work. He lived in a secluded area because he was a game warden. And he had a long driveway. And he didn't ever bother closing his curtains because nobody lived around there. And one day he was just getting ready to go to bed, and he saw these ETs, grays, coming down his driveway. And supposedly they walked right through the wall and window into his room. And that's all he remembered. But then all of a sudden, he claimed everywhere he went, he started seeing owls everywhere. And during the show, I kind of maybe made the guy realize when he's out there and he's seeing owls all of a sudden, which he normally didn't do, could have been from his abductions, you know, screen memories, when he sees an ET. It's an owl to him. It's a lot of strange things that you just can't explain what's going on.
I've heard a couple of stories like that, specifically about owls, but yeah.
What do you think, James?
Yeah, I definitely think it's the screen memories, because here's the other thing. If you ever seen that one movie, I think it was called Taken by Steven Spielberg. It was over a whole generation of families being taken. And they would put screen memories, like when as kids, an ice cream truck would pull up, and two or three kids would get ice cream, but it really wasn't an ice cream truck. It was the aliens. But, you know, think about it. If you can get somebody to think that you're something nice and good, it's easier to catch flies with honey than you know what. And so that's what was going on, and I think that's what's going on with these owls. There's been a lot of reports with owls, and it's really – it's right after a lot of people have been abducted. And I think it's the grays, and they're associating it with owls and a lot of other false memories that I think that they're putting in people's minds.
I think you're right, too, because a lot of people regressed. That's one of the first things. I see a lot of owls. Now, one of the listeners out there, Lloyd, mentions about park rangers and the fire towers. Well, you know what, Lloyd? Again, when Christopher was on, there's a couple cases where park rangers were assigned to the towers. And they would drop their food like once every 2 weeks to, you know, supplies to them. And there were cases where the rangers just disappeared, never was found again. A lot of strange things. Yeah. You remember that, James?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, at the bottom of those towers, it's very secured and locked up with a very secure fence and locks that go around it. And it's real, like a couple hundred feet up. And it has a trap door that's locked. But somehow, those people come up missing, no trace of no evidence of false people messing around. And the people just disappear. There's no trace evidence or nothing. I mean, it's very weird. It's unexplainable.
James, in one of the cases that Christopher said is when they were investigating it, okay, that it was locked from the inside. Remember that? And it is no way it could have been locked the way it was from the outside. But the guy disappeared. He didn't jump off the tower. There was no signs of anything. No body, no blood, no anything. It's just the guy disappeared.
Right. And the thing is, if he would have fell from that height, no matter how many scavengers or whatever came, there would be some kind of trace evidence from him hitting the ground, from 200 feet.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, how long have you been doing your podcast, sir?
The podcast has been going on for about a year now. Our YouTube channel has been going on for a little over 2 years.
Well, how can people find it?
Well, the podcast is called Paranormal News Network, and it can be found at Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. There, we generally talk to authors who are involved with the paranormal world in one sense or another. So it's just my co-host Ralph and I and the guest. And we also report the latest in paranormal news. But our YouTube channel is called Black Lotus Productions, and you can find it by going to youtube.com/Black Lotus Productions. And every Sunday, we have a paranormal roundtable with people who are kind of really very in the know about the paranormal in general. This Sunday, for example, we're going to have Paul Wallace on, who is the author of Escaping from Eden, which is pretty big in the paranormal world. So what we do is we have a topic every week there, and we discuss it with whoever's on with us. We also have a website. It is called blacklotusproductions.net, and we just started that, actually.
Okay. Well, everybody, you need to check it out. Hey, sir, I want to thank you for coming on. I really appreciate you coming on.
No, thank you. I really appreciated being here. It was really nice talking with you.
Okay, my friend. You have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Well, hey, James, who's our guest tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow night, our guest is going to be... Whoops, I was looking at the wrong day.
Uh-oh.
Tomorrow night, our guest... Yeah, I know. Tomorrow night, our guest is going to be Laird Scranton, and he's going to be talking about ancient cosmologies like the Dogon tribe in Africa. How did they know about a star system that we didn't discover until years later?
Maybe alien technology.
Yes. Yep.
And who's our guest on Friday?
Well, come Friday, we're going to have two guests on. Matter of fact, the first guest is going to be Robert Robinson, and he's going to be talking about legend tripping. And then we're going to have Lionel Friendberg on, and he's going to be talking about his lifetime of paranormal experiences, and he's also a documentary filmmaker.
Now, your show on Sunday at 6 p.m., it's a 90-minute show, you have the one and only implant, was it number 9 or 13, from Dr. Roger Lear?
Number 9, and that would be Timothy Collin. And yes, he was the number 9 implant removal by Mr. Dr. Lear. So he will be my guest on Sunday.
Yeah, that is a very interesting, you know, situation where they actually removed the implant. And it was a silver base, but the way it was compounded with another, well, another type of metal, it was no way it could have been compounded on our planet. It had to come from somewhere else. And I saw a picture of it, and I tell you, it's rather interesting. And James, you need to get a picture of it from him where you can look at it before you bring him on.
Yeah, I've actually seen it. I seen a documentary when he was in it about that. And, of course, it was an older one back, well, I don't know, whenever it happened, like an 08 or 10 or something. But, yeah, it was very freaky looking for sure.
Yeah, I tell you what, I wonder how many people are walking around with implants.
Yeah, I've wondered that myself. Exactly. I've often wondered how many of these people got implants that are by different races of these beings, and do they set each other off?
I don't know. I still got mixed feelings, you know. People say that they're here to save us, but then you get the other ones. Well, you know, they're abducting people, experimenting on people. People are screaming in pain. Then we have people vanishing. Okay, then we find, like what we talked about, body parts in certain areas. We have human mutilation and cattle mutilation. So I don't know how many different humanoids are coming to this earth. We always say gray, or reptile, you know, the other one. I think we're being visited by more. Every day, they're finding more planets, more solar systems. Two high school kids found two more planets today. It's in the news.
I know, I've seen that, and they also scientists found a few more planets that they think could have water and trees just like our planet.
Yeah. Well, till tomorrow, everybody have a good one. You were listening to Night Dreams Talk Radio. Everybody have a good one.